This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
This is the Championship Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard. Between 2 and 3 o'clock this afternoon, coming up over the next hour, we'll be looking back at all of the Championship fixtures from the weekend, from Fulham's 2-1 win at home against QPR, to Michael O'Neill winning his second game in a row as the Stoke manager, 2-1 against Wigan, to table toppers West Brom extending their lead at the top, winning 2-1 at home against Sheffield Wednesday. We'll also be talking about the managers, how managerial changes have generally benefited those sides. We'll also talk more in depth about Sheffield Wednesday. Gary Monk very disappointed not to take all 3 points from there trip to West Brom. We'll also be talking a little bit about Fulham. They kicked off the weekend with that win on Friday night against QPR. No Alexander Mitrovic, no problem it seems for Fulham. Remember, if you want to get in touch with us this afternoon, call us on 0208 7020 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp. This is the Championship Fan Show here on Love Sport. That number again, 0208 7020 558. Obviously, the Championship Fan Show every weekday afternoon between 2 and 3, dedicated to all fans of the 24 Championship clubs out there. So, a rundown of all of the results from the Championship this last weekend. As I mentioned, it started on Friday night at Craven Cottage, a London derby, Fulham against QPR. Fulham were without Alexander Mitrovic, but seemingly that wasn't a big problem for Fulham. 2 goals, both of them from Abubakar Kamara, gave Fulham all 3 points against their London rivals QPR. On to Saturday's action, the early kickoff came at Charlton, where Neil Harris was taking his first game in charge of Cardiff, and it ended 2-2, so a point for Neil Harris's side in his first game in charge of Cardiff, having obviously resigned from Millwall earlier on in the season. At Ewood Park, another game, a first game for a new manager. Barnsley, who had sacked Daniel Stendel early on in October, took a long time to appoint a new manager. It finally came into the hands of Gerhard Struber from the Austrian Bundesliga, but his first game in charge ended in defeat. A 3-2 loss away at Blackburn. Maybe the pressure just being taken off a little bit off the Blackburn manager, Tony Mowbray. To Griffin Park, where Brentford won by 1-0 at home against Reading. Mark Bowen's unbeaten start to life as the Reading manager comes to an end. At Ashton Gate, a pretty drab draw between two sides in the playoff positions, or before the weekend they were. Bristol City 0, Nottingham Forest 0. For Derby County, it's been a season dominated by off-field issues, but they can talk about a good result on the field. Philip Cocu's side winning by 1-0 against Preston, who are currently third. They were second before the weekend started and had won 3 games on the trot. Derby have had a fairly inconsistent run of it the last 5 games. Win, loss, win, loss, win. But an important win for Philip Cocu's side. At Huddersfield, it was 1-1 against Birmingham. Huddersfield slowly moving their way away from the relegation zone. Birmingham now without a win in 3 games. Luton, their bad run only continues. They've now slipped into the relegation zone after 5 straight defeats. They lost 2-1 at home against Leeds, who've now won their last 3 and are up to 2nd in the table, just a couple of points behind West Brom. Stoke won 2-1 at home against Wigan. Michael O'Neill won his first game in charge against Barnsley 4-2 just before the international break. Went to manage the Northern Ireland, has come back and has won 2-1 against Wigan, which moves Stoke. It doesn't move them off the 23rd, but they are now level on points with Luton and Middlesbrough. So they are only a matter of a few goals away from being outside of the relegation zone. Their form is now taking a slight upturn. Two wins in two. The sides just above them, Luton, five straight defeats. Wigan, four of their last five they've lost. They're certainly going in the right direction. Swansea lost 1-0 at home against Millwall. A disappointing result for Steve Cooper's side, who dropped down to sixth place. For Millwall, they are up to 10th, and Gary Rowett starting to get things going there for Millwall. West Brom, table toppers, and they continued their dominance at the top. They won 2-1 against Sheffield Wednesday. Charlie Austin scoring a penalty. We've talked about how he's really failed to make an impact in a goal-scoring fashion this season since his move from Southampton. But he did score a crucial penalty, which means that West Brom maintain their position at the top. If they had have slipped up there, they'd be level on points with Leeds, and actually Leeds would have gone ahead of them on goal difference. Both West Brom and Leeds have identical records over the last five games. Won their last three, drawn the two previous to that. Sheffield Wednesday manager Gary Monk feeling a bit aggrieved they didn't take more from the game. We'll talk about that a little bit later when we have more focus on Sheffield Wednesday. And the final game of the weekend came at the Riverside Stadium. The pressure continues on Jonathan Woodgate. They drew 2-2 at home against Hull. They were 2-0 up, but guess who for Hull? Jared Bowen stepped up with two goals, which meant that Middlesbrough only took a point from the game. They are just above the relegation zone on goal difference. Their goal difference is -8, Luton's is -9, and Stoke are on -11. They're all on 14 points. So Middlesbrough's form at the moment, there are three sides there, 20th, 21st, 22nd, Wigan, Middlesbrough, Luton, whose form is all going in the wrong direction. Michael O'Neill and Stoke, back-to-back wins since Mike O'Neill took over from Nathan Jones, so they're going in the right direction. So looking at the table at the end of this week, obviously we've got midweek fixtures coming up, which we'll talk about later on in the hour on Tuesday and Wednesday night. But after 17 games, West Brom still top of the table on 36 points. Leeds just a couple of points behind them in the other automatic promotion spot. Preston, after the defeat to Derby, slip into third place on 31 points. Then we have four sides on 29. Fulham are up to fourth after beating QPR. Nottingham Forest are fifth. Swansea are sixth. Bristol City are seventh. Quite a few then of the top seven dropping points at the weekend. Brentford 27, Sheffield Wednesday 25. Looking down the table at the bottom, Barnsley are bottom on 9 points. They haven't won a game since the opening weekend against Fulham. Stoke are in 23rd. Back-to-back wins for Michael O'Neill. They're on 14, as are Luton. Middlesbrough just hovering outside the relegation zone on goal difference. They're also on 14 points. Wigan on 15. Huddersfield in 19th on 17 points. We were talking in the last hour about the number of Premier League managers who are at serious risk, who are under real threat of losing their jobs. Well, the Championship has kind of replicated what the Premier League usually does. By this point, you may have expected a few more managers to have gone well. In the Championship, clubs really haven't rested on their laurels. They have made changes. And on the whole, they've been quite successful changes, if we're being honest. Starting with Huddersfield, they sacked Jan Sievert early on in the season. It begs the question why on earth they didn't make that decision over the summer, but they decided Jan Sievert wasn't their man. They took a little bit of time, but Danny Cowley was appointed from Lincoln, and coincidentally, Lincoln under Michael Apperton have really struggled ever since Danny Cowley and his brother Nicky left. Danny Cowley was on a 7-match unbeaten run at one point. They're now up to 19th, 3 points above the relegation zone. 8 or 9 games ago, things were looking so horrendous for Huddersfield, and you were wondering whether they were going to drop kind of straight down into League One. Millwall, obviously, it wasn't a it wasn't necessarily a sacking, obviously, because Neil Harris resigned after just over 4 years in charge at the Den. Gary Rowett came in quite quickly, and things are looking good. 3 wins out of their last four means Millwall currently sat 10th. Just 5 points off the playoff position. So for Millwall, that worked out quite well. Reading, unbeaten they were in 4 games under Mark Bowen. Remember that first game that they won in the 98th minute at home against Preston. So they were 4 games unbeaten under Mark Bowen after sacking Jose Gomes, but they did lose at the weekend to Brentford. For Stoke, we were just mentioning it, Nathan Jones was clinging on for a long, long while. They had more 0-0 draws, I think, than they did wins during his tenure at Stoke, but he was sacked on November 1st. A week later, exactly, Michael O'Neill came in and said that he was able to juggle being an international manager and a club manager. Obviously, he will be in charge for the playoffs in March. And if they get to the Euros, he will also be in charge for that. And he has won 2 from 2 after replacing Nathan Jones. For Barnsley, finally, they've got a new manager. It didn't result in a change of fortunes at the weekend. They came close, losing 3-2 away at Blackburn. But Gerhard Struber is the man that's been chosen to replace Daniel Stendel, who was obviously sacked at the beginning of October, despite leading them from League One into the Championship. And for Cardiff, Neil Warnock resigned. He said that he needed a new voice to come in at Cardiff, even though the Cardiff board wanted him to stay until Christmas time. But Neil Warnock felt now was the time to do that. He always said that he was not going to stay on beyond the end of the season, but it seems strange that they allowed him to go into the season and didn't make this decision earlier. But Neil Harris, who granted wasn't available a few months ago, having only recently resigned at Millwall, he is in his tenure, started with that 2-2 draw at Charlton at the weekend. So I think what it shows is obviously there's no guarantees in football, but on the whole, those teams that have made those changes, and also you can put another person into the mix. Gary Monk wasn't in charge at the start of the season. They had an interim manager and then brought him in a couple of months into the season. That those clubs that have changed their manager, they've had that bounce. Now, obviously, the ultimate question is, how long does that bounce last? Does it peter out after 10, 15 games, or is it a maintained bounce? But you look at those sides, you look at a team like Huddersfield, 2 months ago, were in complete disarray, looking really, really bad, and the future wasn't looking great, and suddenly they're now out of the relegation zone. There are three sides, really, that you're looking at here. You're looking at Wigan, who've lost 4 of their last 5, Middlesbrough, who've lost once and drawn 4 of their last 5, and Luton, who've lost 5 on the trot. They're the teams you're thinking, are they going to start thinking about a change? I think in particular, it's Jonathan Woodgate, even though he's a club legend at Borough. I think that's where I think you're looking at it and thinking that's where you could, in theory, see a change being made. Luton, they might stay a little bit more faithful and loyal towards Graham Jones, having taken them up from League One last season, especially as they had to deal with Nathan Jones leaving within the season to go to Stoke. Wigan might stay quite loyal as well. I think Jonathan Woodgate is the one under serious pressure, and they might look at these other clubs and think, actually, these other teams are having success changing their managers and having a bounce. Maybe we need to do that too. If you want to get in touch, share your views. Do you feel like making that quick decision and getting a change in and changing that manager is the right way to go? Call us on 0208 7020 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp. Later in the hour, we're going to be talking about Fulham after their win on Friday night. We're also going to look ahead to the midweek fixtures tomorrow night and Wednesday night. But up next, we'll be talking all things Sheffield Wednesday. Love Sport. This is the Championship Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 3 o'clock this afternoon. If you want to get in touch, call us on 0208 7020 558 or WhatsApp us on that very same number. As I mentioned a few moments ago, we're going to be talking all things Sheffield Wednesday now, and I'm delighted to say we're joined by Alex Miller, Sheffield Wednesday writer for the Sheffield Star. Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Alex. It was a 2-1 defeat then off the back of the international break away at table toppers West Brom. Doesn't necessarily tell you the whole story because Gary Monk was notably very disappointed. He felt his team did enough to win. Was that the way that you saw that game?
Hi, Kieran. Yeah, I think for large periods of the game, particularly in the second half, Wednesday, you know, were the better team, which has more or less been the story of Sheffield Wednesday over the last couple of months. They have had, you know, good periods in games and they've not been able to see games out and take 3 points on, you know, often enough. It's real sense of deja vu in that they conceded late on yet again. That's the third game running that they've conceded late goals to drop points. And yeah, they've only got themselves to blame in many respects.
Is this the type of game where, even though Sheffield Wednesday lost it, that they will actually take a lot of heart to say that they've gone away to West Brom and actually not just played well, but actually played better, and if anything, may have deserved to win the game? Or do you think that these types of results, if they continue, it's all well and good playing well, but if you're not converting them into results, then it's kind of not irrelevant, but at some point that grows a little bit old.
Yeah, I mean, to a point, I think I don't necessarily share Gary Monk's assessment of the game in terms of maybe Wednesday deserved to win the game. I think both teams sort of traded blows a little bit. West Brom was certainly the better team in the first half, and then Wednesday had their moments, as I said, in the second half. So I think it was a fairly even game that either team was perhaps going to win by a single goal. Take the game in isolation, then maybe you could take some positives from it. The fact that Wednesday, as we said, went down there and put on a good display and took them all the way to the 88th minute. But with it's just happening, you know, every time I seem to speak to you nowadays, you're talking about a late concession and more drop points. So it's a case of, it is a thing now for Sheffield Wednesday. It is, you know, they will go into the last 10 minutes of games, either, you know, leading or level, and they'll know that you know, they are susceptible, which is surprising, really, with a team of Sheffield Wednesday's experience and some of the players that they have in that changing room. It's all been down to individual mistakes. So they'll be desperate to make sure that they can stop this from happening. They've obviously got Birmingham on Wednesday night. But yeah, it's an incredible thing. In terms of the match itself, I think it's one of disappointment. I don't think there's too many positives you can take out of it because, you know, it is happening time and time again. And like I said, they do need to stop it.
Looking at the last five games, Alex, the run that Sheffield Wednesday have been on, it started with a win, but over the last four, it's been drawn, loss, draw, loss. We were talking just a few moments ago, actually, about how, on the whole, changes in management in the Championship this season so far have worked out, and there's been a bounce. Do you think that bounce is starting to fade away, or is that far too simplistic to just say it was an instant bounce and now it's kind of subsided?
I think so. I think the interesting thing is that the Wednesday defence has stopped firing, you know, quite as well as it was, which is an interesting thing. It's sort of usually with a manager bounce that you speak about, it's that teams are, you know, flying forward and scoring more goals. What actually happened with Monk and Wednesday is that he came in and had an instant response from his defence, and that's what everything was sort of built upon, that run of form that they had. They've gone four without a win now. They haven't beaten a team outside, I think, the bottom seven. All seven of the wins have come from the bottom seven teams, which is a hell of a concern, I think, going forward. But yeah, like I say, there is a sense that Gary Monk is very much the man to take them forward. He's inherited a squad that isn't his. He hasn't had a transfer window, you know, to go after it. He's only had two international breaks to really sit his squad down. You know, they've admitted that that, you know, there are still a lot of things that need to work on. He's talked about the seven principles that he likes to take into any job and how he's only managed to really instill two or three of those so far. So it's a work in progress. In terms of, you know, a new manager bounce, obviously we did see the results, but, you know, the other side of the coin is that the fixtures were a little bit more polite to Wednesday during that period, and perhaps they're maybe just finding their level a little bit, and you know, it's a rut that they need to get out of, and Birmingham, I think, at home, possibly a good game to try and get that first win in five games.
You mentioned there, Alex, about the January transfer window. Do you think that Gary Monk will be given the funds? Will he be given funds in January, and what will he be looking to invest in if he is given some funds to maybe make some additions to the squad?
Remains to be seen, doesn't it, with all this ESL charge hanging over us. The fact is that Sheffield Wednesday may be put under transfer embargo by then. They may have, you know, new financial fair play calculations to make. So really, until that's all dealt with, we won't have a clue that whether there's going to be funds available. I think Monk's already spoken a little bit about, you know, the need to make a couple of additions. I think the accepted wisdom was that was going to be through the loan market and possibly using some of his contacts around the league to get a couple of players in. It's been an open, well, not really much of a secret over the past few weeks, but they haven't been clinical enough. And Stephen Fletcher, for everything that he brings, he scored his first goal in seven games on Saturday from the penalty spot. Wednesday haven't been clinical enough, so if they can get someone in and around Fletcher to perhaps score a few goals, then yeah, it will certainly help. A lot of the Wednesday games have been either lost, won by one goal. It's very nip and tuck, the Championship, but it's been alarming, really, the number of chances that Wednesday have had in these dominant periods, and they haven't been able to put games to bed.
Looking ahead then for Gary Monk's side up next, this is that period where It is a very intense period. So many games coming up on Wednesday night. It's a home game against Birmingham. Do you think, I mean, they're just kind of going along steadily. No one really talking a huge amount about them, but they're kind of mid-table, doing an okay job this season. But do you think this is a nice game for Sheffield Wednesday to have at home in order to get that first win in five games?
Yeah, I think there's never any nice games in the Championship, are there? It's always the difficulty. There's never a team that comes in, or very rare, that a team comes up and rolls over. Monk's obviously got the recent history with Birmingham, having managed them last year, and his departure from the club and everything that came with that. So, yeah, I think Wednesday have been largely very good at home. Gary Monk, as I say, has got that point to prove. I think, look, the bottom line is that they're coming up against a side that they are better than, especially at home, and that they should get a win. But, you know, things really start to get on top of Sheffield Wednesday. If they don't manage to win the game, I think a draw would be seen as a big disappointment. They've obviously fallen out of the playoff positions in the last two or three weeks. And while it is still early days in the season, no one's pretending that anything's season-defining or anything like that. You don't want to fall too many points behind because, as we've seen, it's congested and there's a lot of teams that can pop up from nowhere. So, it's a big game already, that one against Birmingham, and it's a game that they should win, really.
Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon, Alex. That was Alex Miller, Sheffield Wednesday writer for the Sheffield Star. It does feel like the momentum has been stalled somewhat at Sheffield Wednesday when Gary Monk first went in. The results of the start of the season weren't that bad, but it was a real pickup, and Sheffield Wednesday found themselves in the playoff positions. They've now drifted away from that. They're down to ninth. They are still only 4 points off the playoffs. They're actually only 6 points off third place, so still a long way to go. But you just wonder, we were talking about that bounce effect when a new manager comes in, and whether that is going to be a permanent bounce or whether it's just simply a temporary one, that after a few weeks the novelty wears off and the problems that were there before don't really change. The last four games since a win for Sheffield Wednesday have been drawn, lost, drawn, loss. So the form hasn't been good for them. And you just wonder whether Gary Monk, maybe that bounce has stopped and he's going to have to fight really hard. And with a transfer embargo potentially hanging over them, as Alex mentioned there, there's a chance the Sheffield Wednesday won't be able to make any signings in the January transfer window. That doesn't help his cause, but still a long way to go. And their biggest problem at the moment, seemingly, is conceding late goals. That's becoming a real issue, that they're in games and then suddenly right at the end, in the dying embers of games, they're throwing away points. But Gary Monk seemed to be very disappointed, but also proud of his team's performance on the weekend, that Alex maybe didn't quite share the sentiment that they deserved to win, but Gary Monk was very firm in his opinion that he believed that his side actually deserved to win the game. They lost 2-1 away at obviously the leaders, West Brom, but he felt his players' performance. I think he said his players will be sick because of how well they played, and yet they come away with nothing. I suppose if this is just a one-off in terms of they don't get the result, but the performance away at a side as good as West Brom, who are currently sat at the summit of the table, then that's a positive you can take forward. Now, obviously, ultimately, if football is a results-driven business, and at some point, good performances need to translate into good results. But if this is kind of a sign of things to come, Sheffield Wednesday and Gary Monk will be thinking, if they can play something like that, if they can play to that calibre, to that standard, week in, week out, then they're going to win a lot of games and not lose a huge number of games.
This is Love Sport.
This is the Championship Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 3 o'clock this afternoon. Remember, if you want to get in touch, call us on 0208 70 20 558. We're going to be talking all things Fulham now, and joining me in the studio, Love Sport's very own and part of the Fulhamish podcast, Dom Betts joins me. Thank you very much for joining me in the studio, Dom. It was a 2-1 win at home against QPR on Friday night. You promised goals, a mixture of because both teams like to attack and both teams rather don't like to defend. And I was worried that your prediction would lead to a boring 0-0 draw, but it wasn't. It wasn't quite like that. It was closer to your prediction.
Yeah, I think I said 3-1 going into the game, which is, you know, it nearly was the case in a 2-1 victory for us. I think QPR will feel annoyed after the first half. I think they should have gone into that break at least one or if not two goals up. You know, obviously they got a goal only after Jordan Hugo after 3 minutes. Joe Bryan got spun very easily, and then, you know, Rolex sort of, but I don't think you can blame Rolex. He sort of just palms it out. He has to push it out away from his goal, and it just hits Hugo and goes over the line. So yeah, it wasn't the greatest start, obviously, after 3 minutes in the West London derby, but yeah, they will be annoyed that they didn't score more goals. And, you know, Rodak played well, albeit people point to them to make for the goal, but I don't think you can really blame him for that. And they'll be annoyed they weren't more clinical QPR of their chances, because realistically, we shouldn't have really been in the game going into half-time. Obviously, you know, Adoy turns his man and puts a beauty of a ball into the box for Kamara to head in to equalise for us after about half an hour. But yeah, I think QPR would definitely feel hard done by. But then when the second half sort of came into play and we brought Bobby Reid on for Harrison Reid, substitutions that sort of changed the game. And yeah, QPR weren't really in it in the second half, really. I thought we were the dominant side. So I think it was more, you know, QPR not taking the chances, and we did.
We talked before the game, actually, about the absence of Alexander Mitrovic. He was suspended. He's been one of, if not the best players in the Championship so far this season. And we wondered how they would set up, and you thought Bobby Reid might start up front. He came off the bench, as you mentioned, made an impact off the bench. What did you make of the way that Fulham dealt without him? Or do you not really read much into it? Because, I mean, I know Mitrovic's a bit of a hothead, but you're not going to play that many games in the Championship without him this season.
Yeah, I think we did change the way we were playing. Kamara is a very different type of player to which I think we were definitely playing more on the ground, getting it through the forward line, and, you know, playing players in behind, which did help. But I think that Kamara had a point to prove, because obviously everyone points back to the penalty debacle of him and Mitrovic in the last season. But you can tell that didn't create too much disharmony within the squad. I think, you know, what happened with him, obviously it happened, and obviously then he got sent on loan to Turkey, I think Antalyaspor or somewhere like that is where he got sent. And yeah, like, I think they just had to do that because it was obviously in the public eye and they needed to sort of remove the club for the next 6 months and he'd come back in the summer as a new person. But all the players seem really happy for him, so he's clearly changed it around at the club. And, you know, I think he has got a part to play this season. He came on in the game before the international break off the bench against Birmingham City, which we won 1-0. And I'm not saying he changed the game, but he offered us something different off the bench, you know, that raw pace. You know, he had one chance, which Lee Camp unfortunately say, which hit the post. He had the most bit of Boubacar Kamara moment when he sort of ran down the line, cut back and fell over on the slippery grass. But I think he's got to have a part to play, because, you know, he did play in the playoff semi-final, second leg, which we won, and he did play in the playoff final that we won. He started quite a few games at the beginning of the following Premier League season. I think he played a key part to play, and we ended up losing, but when we played Spurs at Wembley, and we played very, very well until the last sort of 20 minutes or so. So I think he's definitely got something to offer. A lot of people don't like him, probably because he just lacks any footballing intelligence. But I think, you know, he offers us something that'd be different. And if you look at our squad, we don't really have another number nine, so he kind of has to, you know, be in the squad and going forward. And I wouldn't be surprised, obviously, when Mitrovic returns on Tuesday against Derby tomorrow night, see him out wide instead of, let's say, Tony Knockaert.
You mentioned, obviously, the situation surrounding why Abubakar Kamara went on loan, and that scuffle is not exactly what you want to see as a fan. We were talking about it a few hours ago in the office, and I was saying that there's a big difference between a player and a manager in terms of a player can turn things around. It's not easy, but it's amazing how a few goals as a forward or a few good performances in goal, if you're a goalkeeper, that can change people's minds. With a manager, it is very, very different, isn't it? That if you lose the fans, it's very difficult to come back from that.
Yeah, I think when you're a striker, it is actually easier to come back, because you score two goals, give you the win over your local rival, and everything's sort of exactly forgotten. It's sort of how fickle football is. But I think that maybe, you know, it was after what Ranieri said, but as soon as Ranieri left, I think Parker knows he's got a part to play. And, you know, he was happy for him, and he clearly thinks he's got a part to play. He's sort of started coming back into the fold now. But I think it shows that we can cope without Mitrovic, albeit we were playing the team with probably like the second worst defence in the league, haven't kept a clean sheet all season, so it's probably made a bit easier there. But, you know, if you look at both his goals, they're two very good goals for a number nine. You know, one header, just slightly glance it into the far post, and then another one, place it again to the far post on a one-on-one finish. You could argue that QPR's keeper could do better there, but yeah, I thought that he played a lot better than anyone was expecting. And I think it wasn't just he scored goals. I think he thought his all-round play was a lot better than people were giving him credit for. I thought he held up the ball fairly well, played other players into the game, and especially when Bobby Reid came on, it was him and those two up front were very, very dangerous together. So I think that he will have a part to play this season. I wouldn't be surprised if he started maybe on the wing tomorrow night.
Looking at Fulham's opponents then, QPR, they're currently 12th in the table on 24 points, just 5 points behind Fulham, Forest, Swansea, Bristol. I mean, the list goes on of how close it is. They've had... that they can quite clearly score goals. I mean, Jordan Hugo, Naki Wells up top, Eberechi Eze as well. They've quite clearly got goals. Is QPR's problem therefore very similar, or their resolution very similar to yours at Fulham, where at the attacking end, there's no problem there, but defensively is where they need to improve? And if they can do that, would you say they are well in the mix for a playoff position?
They can, but they need an entire new back four.
Like, is that not the case, though, with Fulham?
No, I think our back four is perfectly capable. And obviously, we've got Michael Hector, who's signed and he's eligible to play from January. I think our defence is fine, but I think their defence is genuinely terrible. Like, I wasn't expecting them to be as good as they were. Yes, I understand Naki Wells and Jordan Hugo Eze are very good players in the Championship. I wouldn't be surprised if Eze is linked with a move away in January, along with the likes of Jarrod Bowen. So I don't think they'll be challenging, just because they need that entire new defence. Like, their defence was that poor, I feel like, for them to challenge for the top six. I'm not saying you don't need a good defence challenge for the top six. We proved that 2 years ago. But you need to have a competent defence, at least. And I don't think they've got that. And I think they have been impressed with what but I think another one of the problem is Mark Warburton in that sense, because Mark Warburton is either you plan A or you try plan A harder as your plan B. And if they don't sort the defence out, and by that, it's not even improving it. They need to literally bring players in. I don't think these players can be coached to defend better. I just don't think they're good enough. So I think that for them, yes, they've got the goals going forward, but I just don't think they've got enough. I think there's too many other teams who are better than them who are going to finish in the top six.
We have a full fixture list coming up in midweek this week, Tuesday and Wednesday night. As you mentioned, Fulham are in action tomorrow night. Another home game against Derby, who themselves got an impressive result of the weekend. At home against Preston, they've had to deal with all these off-field issues, but beating Preston, who were second in the table, they're now third in the Championship. Does a result like that make you think this is actually perhaps a slightly trickier game than maybe you'd have anticipated only a matter of days ago?
I think Derby at home is always going to be a tough fixture. You may look at the start they've had this season, but they're only, let's say, a certain amount, 9 points off the top or something crazy.
They're 11th at the moment on 24 points, and yet they've had an awful start, and yet they're 5 points off the playoffs.
Yeah, so for me, I'm always wary when you play Derby at home. It's never going to be an easy fixture. Obviously, we haven't played them since we beat them in the playoff semi-finals, so there could be some angst there. And obviously that was a bit of redemption for us, what happened with us against them in the 80s. So I think there's always some bite to this fixture. You know, somehow Chris Martin's probably going to score against his old club in us here. But I'm looking forward to this game. I think both teams can't defend, so they're going to look to attack. And I'm a bit like the QPR game. But no, I'm looking forward to this one, because we're now, if you look at our fixtures for Christmas, we pretty much are only playing teams in the top six, pretty much. So it's another game where I don't care how we play, we just always get 3 points, because now we've got these two wins, one before the international break, one after. It's now just continuing on this run, because we are playing the likes of Swansea, we are playing the likes of Preston, we are playing the likes of Bristol City, we are playing the likes of Leeds, the likes of Derby, all before Christmas. But these are vital points, especially not this one, but I'm looking at Preston, Swansea, Leeds, and even Bristol City. It's just, again, getting points over your rivals. And another win here would be 3 wins on the bounce, and we're really ahead of confidence going to Friday night's clash against Swansea.
I wanted to just pick your brains in a couple of fixtures coming up. One of them tomorrow night, Cardiff against Stoke. Two teams have got new managers. Neil Harris drew his first game in charge of Cardiff at the weekend. Stoke won back-to-back games in Michael O'Neill's first two games in charge. For Stoke, they're still kind of in that relegation zone, but they are starting to turn it around. That managerial changes, I was saying earlier, have generally worked out quite well so far this season.
Yeah, I think Cardiff fans were disappointed with the Neil Harris, but I think I don't see who else they're expecting to get. Your Cardiff City. Like, I don't know who else they're expecting to get, like, realistically. And I think Neil Harris is a very good person to just steady the ship. You know, let's face it, they're not going to be getting promoted this season. Even though we thought they probably would be challenging at the beginning of the season, and it won't be challenging the season. Michael O'Neill is exactly the kind of manager that Stoke need, because he's good at getting players who aren't necessarily the greatest, but getting to play really well. And if you look at his Stoke squad, it's definitely stronger than the squad he's had at Northern Ireland. And look what he's done with them. Got them to the knockout stages of a European Championships 4 years ago. And obviously they could end up qualifying for the Championships next summer through the playoffs. So I think that, yeah, Stoke, for me, I've got the better manager here, obviously. But I think that this game, if Stoke then get that third win, they could easily be in the mix for playoffs this season. Because you look at the quality in their squad. The quality is there. And if you can get the right manager to turn it around, to get the squad to perform, there's no reason why they can't make a late push. You know, we've seen in years gone by, you know, Fulham be 13th around November time and still end up, you know, getting promoted and nearly getting automatically promoted that season. I'm thinking of Palace under Ian Dowie. I'm thinking of Sunderland under Roy Keane. All these teams have poor starts to the season and yet, you know, they ended up getting promoted. So I don't think Stoke are actually completely out even the promotion picture if they were to get a third win here.
And a big one on Wednesday night at the bottom of the table as well. Middlesbrough take on Barnsley. I think the pressure is massively ramping up on Woodgate. Even though he's a club legend, I think that patience will wear thin for Barnsley. They've made that change. Took them a long time to make a managerial change, and they've appointed Gerhard Struber, which many will be thinking, who the hell is that? This is a massive game, probably a lot more pressure on Middlesbrough as they're at home compared to Barnsley.
Yeah, well, obviously Middlesbrough played at lunchtime kickoff yesterday against Hull City, 2-0 up, and obviously 10 men, and then they end up drawing the game 2-2 and probably lucky to get a point out of the game come towards the end of the game. Another masterclass from Jarrod Bowen. So I think that, yeah, if Middlesbrough don't get the 3 points here, Woodgate's going to be in severe trouble. Your club legend status can only last so long. I'm surprised they managed to even score 2 goals yesterday, because that's their biggest problem. They just literally don't look like scoring. And, you know, Barnsley, they do score goals. Corey Woodrow is, you know, banging in the goals left, right and centre for them down there. If they're going to stay up, it is going to be down pretty much solely to Corey Woodrow's goals. So I think, you know, Middlesbrough, again, for them, I don't think it's about the performance at all. I think, again, for them, it's just about getting the 3 points. But if Barnsley were to get a point or even win here, it would 100% for me spell the end of Woodgate's tenure at the club.
Thank you very much for joining me. That was Don Betts, Love Sport's very own and part of the Fulhamish podcast. Not only reacting to Fulham's win on Friday night against QPR, they play Derby tomorrow. A full rundown done then of the midweek fixtures tomorrow night. Cardiff take on Stoke. Fulham, as we mentioned, also play against Derby. Huddersfield host Swansea. Luton, who have lost 5 games on the trot, they play Charlton. Millwall are against Wigan, and Reading take on Leeds. On Wednesday night, Blackburn are at home against Brentford. Hull host Preston. We mentioned the game at the Riverside. Middlesbrough taking on Barnsley in a massive game. QPR take on Nottingham Forest. Sheffield Wednesday are at home against Birmingham. And the tabletoppers West Brom take on Bristol City. Love Sport.